You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
When religion itself becomes a burden, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord Jesus Christ, fulfill your promise to us that all who come to you, laboring and heavy laden, will receive rest for their souls. Lift the burdens from our shoulders, the guilt that weighs us down, the gloom of despair and of death, the fear of today and of tomorrow, and also the constant urge to save ourselves through the practice and piety of mere religion. Give us the joy of faith and love toward you, with refreshment of soul in your promise. You shall find rest for your souls. With confidence in you, we pray. Amen. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ issued that invitation. It is meant for everyone. Those who have struggles and strains in their life, and also those who are beset by difficulties, disappointments, and discouragements. Many listening today may have those moments when even religion becomes a burden. There's so much to be borne in life, including the baggage of guilt that people carry around with them. There are the problems of our own making. Some of them took only an hour to create, or a half hour, or even a minute. But the damage has been done. We have made our own bed, and we must lie in it, perhaps permanently. In other cases, we may have burdens and troubles for which we do not seem to be responsible. A person may lose a job, or get hurt in an accident right in the home, or on the highway through no fault of his own. Suddenly, without warning, the problem is there. The tragedy strikes. The damage is done. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden." He's talking about the loads and burdens people have in common with other people. He's also talking about those burdens people create for themselves. He certainly was referring to the burdens of conscience that were laid upon people by other people, not by God, but by people. There are religious laws to which religious leaders added their own do's and don'ts, accompanied by all kinds of restrictions and regulations. They sound pious, as St. Paul once said, but really there's no piety in them. They're just examples of ambitions of the flesh, as he put it, instead of the spirituality they are supposed to represent. As a result, even religion can become a heavy burden. To all those people, of whatever kind, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, relief, recovery, repose in serenity of spirit." Who is Jesus to be saying something like that to anybody? What right has he to promise all of that in the face of the long tradition of religion and the massive oppression it often has brought to the world? when the Ayatollahs put people to death on the charge that they are fighting against God, when certain pitiful little pieties are the test of one's faithfulness to God, when faith and love have to take a back seat to what is essentially the drive of some people to dominate the lives of other people, when religion becomes a burden, difficult if not impossible to bear. There's a good deal of irony in that striking passage in the Old Testament where the prophet of the exile pictures the proud gods of Babylon, Bel and Nebo, who are unceremoniously carted off in the face of danger. These dumb idols, these inert lumps of wood and stone, with noses in the dust, were supposed to save and protect. Now, with the enemy at the gate, they had to be hoisted laboriously to the shoulders of the faithful, loaded onto beasts of burden, and carted off to safety. It's a vivid picture, not only of the obvious ineptness of human idolatry, but of every kind of religion, which instead of lifting and sustaining, becomes just another piece of life's luggage that has to be carted along wherever that person goes. Religion, as much of it was in the time of Christ, became a ridiculously detailed observance of jots and tittles. The religion with which he was surrounded had become an incredible maze of 600-odd thou shalts and thou shalt nots. The edge in this game of pious hopscotch went to the moneyed class, where they had the leisure to work at it and become proficient. For the poor, it was no longer a strong defense or a Lord's song. It was dead weight on their shoulders. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." One might think that people listening to Jesus Christ would change all of that. Many centuries later, we still find the simplicities and uplifting power of the gospel covered over and even buried with top-heavy structures governed by the laws of men rather than by the law of God. Jesus and his apostles always asked people why they continued to be burdened when Jesus had lifted the burden with his very presence, his atonement for the sins of the world, by redemption through God's grace from the burden of slavery. This is Jesus' own direct invitation. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." One might think that Luther and the other reformers had changed all of that. But here we are, supposedly religious people, sometimes acting as if our religion is a terrible burden, a dead weight to be carried, rather than a saving, renewing faith to carry us along toward salvation. You can ask someone why he or she joins a church. Too often, discouragingly often, it is because religion strengthens the neighborhood, or out of a sense of loneliness, because the church is on the right side of issues that trouble people. Eventually, if not right away, Christian faith becomes an expression of discouragement and defeat, a load to be carried, a project to be supported, a thing to be given a helpful shove along the way. All of that leaves people scratching their heads and rubbing their brains in an endless effort of artificial inspiration to breathe life into a corpse. Denominations become a collection of promotional secretaries. The church languishes, apparently, because its causes and projects are not being constantly pushed and promoted. For many people, even worship becomes a burden, a habit, or a duty, rather than a holy experience and a delight, a chore to be discharged, even if it wears people out doing it. Jesus Christ put the torch to all that kind of thinking. He pointed people not to religion, but to himself. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's not just talk. It is a holy invitation. It dispels the foggy thinking that makes a burden of religion, a load to be lugged along as a security blanket, a panacea for all ills, a medicine kit, an investment in eternity. The real problem is that people have come to think of religion and its blessings as dependent upon their own efforts. This is something altogether different. It's not just any old kind of faith. It is faith in Jesus Christ. He set his face against the whole dreary setting of religion that has become a burden. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I will refresh you, said Jesus. This is not an offer of an occasional nap in the afternoon, or the opportunity to put on your slippers and draw up by the TV. It's the offer of new life with new zest and real lift. That was the prophet's point way back there by the waters of Babylon. Instead of dead, dumb, religious idols which have to be loaded and hauled away, he pointed to God and his everlasting arms. I have made and I will carry, says the Lord. This is the gospel of God. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel is Jesus' offer to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. It is good news. It's not a matter of endless duties and failures, but of God's grace and glory relieving people of their burdens and sending them on their way rejoicing. The great God laid the whole burden on his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the meaning of the cross of Christ. He died for our sins, that they might be forgiven. He died for your sins, that you might have life direct from God. The cross is God's eternal pledge in Jesus Christ. I have made, and I will carry. Refreshment of soul comes directly from God through Jesus Christ. The refreshment is like death and resurrection. It's like the death and resurrection of Christ himself. It makes people say, as St. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Refreshment of soul comes to people as a direct response to Christ's invitation. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's like cold water on a hot day. It's like fresh water in a muddy world. It's like power in the midst of weakness. It's like forgiveness in an unforgiving world. Love in an unloving world. It's like forgetting yourself, picking up whatever cross is laid upon you, and following Christ wherever he goes. It is life in the midst of death. Christ's invitation itself inspires trust and confidence. It's the way the gospel of Christ works. It produces faith, just as it is doing right now. It's salvation. To be caught up by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and then to live as life was meant to be lived. That is the yoke, as Jesus himself said. Come unto me and take my yoke upon you. The word yoke has a lot of meanings to people today. To some it means the yellow part of an egg. To others it is a piece of cloth, a part of the shoulder of a dress, shirt, or coat. The yoke Jesus speaks about is the kind you could see in a barn or garage, especially where beasts of burden carry their yoke to draw the load. It made pulling a large load a lot easier. Imagine yourself carrying a 25-pound bag of groceries, not just 100 feet from the store to the car in the parking lot, but for half a mile, or 5 miles. Your arms would get very tired. Many have found that you can carry 25 pounds or more for many hours and many miles in one day. How do they do it? By means of a backpack or knapsack. One man told me that he carried 25 pounds in his backpack, including tent, utensils, food, and extra clothing, up and down 5 mountains in one day. He kept that up for 4 days in all. A yoke is much like a backpack. A yoke makes it a lot easier to carry a heavy load. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When Jesus takes the load off your shoulders, Your life is linked with His. Your weakness is joined to His strength, His life. Drugs don't strengthen you. Alcohol won't help you. And all the other panaceas only multiply your problems. Not even piety will help you unless it is joined to faith, which is genuine because He is genuine. Don't let anything else elbow Christ out of your life. Let Christ lift the burden from your shoulders, the burden of guilt that everyone has, the burden of trying to make everything good, which is impossible without Christ, the burden of selfishness and hatred, which governs so much of life, the specter of death that constantly confronts and terrifies people. As Jesus said, I'm gentle, patient, and lowly in heart. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a common criminal. For all of that, His Father gave Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Life in Christ is not dreary, nor is it just a lark. It is a yoke to be taken, a burden to be carried. There's no running away from responsibilities and duties, no escape. If a person is in Christ, he's not interested in escape. The demands are still there, reborn with the gladness of spirit that comes directly from Christ. For the joy that was before Him, He endured a cross, forgetting about the shame. And now He sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. For the joy set before you, with faith in Christ, you take the yoke that is laid upon you. The burden becomes light as He promised it would. Compared with the other yokes, it is easy to be borne. It can be taken with a light heart and a light step. The yoke of Jesus is easy because it fits. It fits your situation. You need to be put right with God, and Jesus does that. You need to be forgiven, and Jesus does that. You need a new zest for life, and Jesus gives you that. You need to learn how to love, and Jesus loves you, not just to death, but to life. His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. I am gentle and lowly in heart, says Jesus, and you will find rest for your souls. So you will. Jesus guarantees it. This is not for the proud in heart or for the arrogant in spirit. It is for people whose bodies are fragile and whose bones can be easily broken. It's for those with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God." The invitation of Jesus has love written all over it. It's like an invitation addressed by a young man to his beloved. Will you marry me? Of course, a young man can fall in love with money or good looks. That shows very little sense of responsibility. He's really in love when he falls in love with a person. After that, the edges of life take care of themselves. Heaven knows we have enough burdens without piling religion on top of them. Fall in love with God at the center, my friend, and the edges of life take care of themselves. Better than that, God will take care of those edges and give you what God has to give, rest for your soul and peace that comes from God through Jesus Christ with serenity at its core. The little boy once asked his father, "What does God do all day?" Father had a lot of trouble answering that question. Jesus had no trouble with it. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and every day at every time, I will give you rest. I will refresh you. And the burden you carry will become light with humility and serenity of soul that you will receive directly from me." That's Jesus. Trust Him. Live with faith in Him and in what He has to give. The excitement of life with calmness and serenity of spirit. This is the promise of Christ. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Amen.